Good evening. Nice to see us all here this evening. And as you know, I like to do scripture readings. And that's because of the lesson I taught this morning. According to the scriptures, we can learn so much just by putting our nose in the book and seeing what God has revealed for us to know. Before I read these, I was trying to put together a cheat sheet about what it is we're reading. But I found that the publishers of this New American Standard 1995 version that I have, they have put together a synopsis of each of the books of the Bible. And as I've said before, we know what a commentary is. The commentary is not the Word of God. But we can learn from people, because there's a lot of smart people that write things down for us to know. But I like what it says here, and it kind of summarizes this book. It says, 1 John, the Apostle John speaks to Christians as children in the family of God. John wants them to know that they really are in God's family, so he outlines several confirmations of the new birth. He also warns them that false prophets and opponents of Christ have joined forces to deceive Christians and draw them away from the truth. Love is an important aspect of John's teaching, and it is mentioned over 50 times in this short book. It's a letter. There's five chapters. And in those five chapters, love is mentioned 50 times. Now then you stop and think about that and realize that John called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. When you read the book of John, he refers to himself as the disciple who Jesus loved. So love was an important part of what John learned from hanging out with Jesus Christ for 3.5 years. He learned that love is what it's all about, and that's where we learn about God's love for us. So let's go to 1 John chapter 1. See what John has to say. I'll wait for Monday. Come on in. Come on in. 1 John, chapter 1, New American Standard update. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, and what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write, so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are not, but they all, hold on, that it would be shown that they all are not of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, it is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. Hold on just a sec. First John 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one, and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we've passed out of life, out of death into life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth, and will assure our heart before him in whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and with the blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and the three are in agreement. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for the testimony of God is this, that he has testified concerning his Son. The one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. But we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, guard yourself from idols. That's 1 John. And I know we could have a sermon on every chapter of 1 John. We're not going to do that. We're going to stick with the scripture reading. I would like to read the synopsis for the other two as well. I think it was well thought out and well written. The synopsis for 2 John says, in this letter, excuse me, in this letter, the Apostle John states the essentials of Christian conduct for the believer in Christ and gives further warning about false teachers and heresies. As in John's day, believers always need to be wary of spiritual leaders who attempt to modify sound biblical teaching. That's a pretty well-written synopsis. And it's a short synopsis, and it's a short book, short letter. The second letter of John. Let me just throw this in, too. This letter in verse 1 says, the elder, that would be John, to the chosen lady and her children. I don't know who that is, and I don't think you do either. It has been speculated that this might be the church in Jerusalem, the church being called her or a lady, the bride of Christ. It has been, some people have speculated that it might be Mary, the mother of Jesus. I don't know. And it doesn't say. So we'll just have to leave it as such. We just don't know. But here we go. 2 John chapter 1. Well, 2 John. The elder to the chosen lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, for the sake of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I was very glad to find some of your children walking in truth, just as we have received commandment to do from the Father. Now I ask you, lady, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves that you do not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house, and do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Though I have many things to write to you, I do not want you to do so with paper and ink, but I hope to come to you and speak face to face, so that your joy may be made full. The children of your chosen sister greet you. That's the end of 2 John. And I don't know who the chosen sister is either. So we're just left to wonder. It's not revealed. Secret things belong to God. So maybe we'll learn that someday. 3 John. I'll read the synopsis as well. I have read some of these synopsi. Is that the right word? Synopsises that aren't so good. But these are good. I thought these were very well written. 3 John, this letter condemns a man named Diotrephes, who had repudiated the Apostle John's authority by rejecting his letter to the church in which Diotrephes was a leader. Not only had he maligned John, he also refused to receive workers approved by John and removed those who did receive them from the church. This brief letter encourages all believers to show hospitality to their fellow servants of Christ. Pretty good synopsis. The third letter of John. The elder, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth, that is, how you were walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth, or in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever you accomplish for the brethren, and especially when they are strangers. And they have testified to your love before the church. You do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men, so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with wicked words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brethren either. And he forbids those who desire to do so and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself, and we add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had many things to write to you, but I am not willing to write them to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we will speak face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends by name. The end of 3 John. So, I just thought it was time that we read through the epistles of John, the letters of John. John was not only one of Jesus' closest friends on earth. We see that in the momentous occasions that Jesus had, the transfiguration that we read about in Matthew 17. Who went up on the mountain with him? Peter and James and John. Who heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased? Well, Peter and James and John. And then, of course, we could do a study on who John is, but it's just interesting that he's one of the gospel writers. The book of John, obviously, is his. The letters of John are his, and the book of Revelation is written by John. So he's responsible for a good portion of the New Testament. And he had a special perspective, and as far as we know, from a secular standpoint, he's the only apostle who did not die a violent death. And when I say a secular standpoint, we don't have scriptural references of how the apostles died. But what we do know, historically speaking, they all died a violent death except John, who was on the Isle of Patmos in exile when he wrote the book of Revelation. So Well, I hope the reading has been good and edifying for you. It was for me. I want to mention the plan of salvation because we always do that when we're here. It's good that we know it. Even if we've all obeyed the gospel, we need to know and refresh our minds on what it is so that we can tell others. But we need to hear the gospel first. We need to hear the word of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 says, "It was for this that he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us." One of the reasons we assemble is to be taught from the Word. The Word teaches us all. We have the same source of knowledge. We're all learning from this book. I can stand up here and be a teacher, but all I'm really doing is delivering you what's here. I don't have any special knowledge, and no preacher does, because there's only one source of truth. And if you were here this morning, you heard that lesson. According to the Scriptures, that's where we find the truth. James 1:21 says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." We need to believe that gospel message that we hear. So we hear the gospel, we believe it. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him." We got to believe and be... We need to be believers. John 8:24, Jesus said, "Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and today sits at the right hand of God. He's alive and sitting at the right hand of God and waiting for judgment day, just like the rest of us. He's waiting and we're waiting, and we will see him someday. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says, "I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Jesus commanded that we repent of our sins. We need to turn from the evil ways that we've been thinking and speaking and doing and start practicing righteousness as he is righteous. Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Paul, talking to the philosophers on Mars Hill, he said, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." This is the anchor of our faith, the anchor of the hope that we have, that God raised Jesus from the dead, and he's going to raise us from the dead too. We need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation." And then Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." We need to be speaking his name. When we talk to people, we need to be saying Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he's the Savior of the world to all who come to him. We need to be baptized into Christ. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus is talking and says, "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." And of course, in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching what we call the first gospel sermon, and he convicts those people of crucifying the Son of God. And they're pricked in the heart. They feel their conscience is pricked, and they say, "What shall we do?" And he answers in verse 38, and he says, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." We just read about that promise of eternal life in 1 John chapter 5. Eternal life is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we get when we're forgiven of our sins. And that's accomplished through baptism. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul talking to Christians says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Baptism is where the second birth takes place. When Jesus said, you need to be born again, that's what he's talking about. We are raised to walk in newness of life. And then we need to remain obedient. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven is who will enter. It's possible to fulfill all the commands of Christ right on down the line. Confess his name, repent of your sins, be baptized into Christ, and fall away. That's possible. How do we know? Because we see it happen. We see it happening to people, and we see that there's warnings against it. We need to remain faithful. Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death, and I'll give you the crown of life. That's everlasting life. That's the hope that we all have. That's why we're here worshiping God tonight, because we have that hope of everlasting life. And then in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Falling away is a constant danger, and we are surrounded by worldliness. I mean, we live in the world. That's what's here is worldliness. And all the temptations to step back into sin, the temptations to fall away and not serve the Lord anymore, not be obedient servants anymore, but do what we want to do. And that temptation is there every single day of our lives. So I believe all of us in this room are Christians. So we've all obeyed that gospel. If there's anyone here who has stepped into sin, you'd like your brethren to pray for you and with you and to help you get back on the right track, we can do that. Or if there's any other needs you have, let that be known as we stand and as we sing.